And it's a privilege just to come and share very briefly. And what I do in one church, I'm one of the pastors there, but I also sit on the newly formed youth team for AOG, which is wonderful, exciting. It's being led by Stu Elman, and we've got some great things planned for that. I'll talk about them in a second, but just to start by saying this, I it's really good to be here. I've got like a real love for this area of AOG. I did my Fit to Lead training here. Any other Fit to Lead alumni? Come on. Yeah, representing. Yeah, good. It's called MIT now, isn't it? It seems a bit more intense. I felt like we did it at the right time. Yes. Don't tell Simon I said that. Simon Jarvis is my pastor. But I met some wonderful people through that time, really, really blessed and encouraged. Pastor Ian Williams was really encouraging to me, prophesied over my life. He let me onto the course. I think he felt sorry for me because my interview was terrible. Yeah, really grateful, really pleased to be here. Andrea, your word was amazing. Can we just honour Andrea for the word that you... That was fantastic. Really good. And hopefully what I'm going to bring now just dovetails nicely with what's already been brought, because I'm going to do two things. One, I'm going to speak very briefly on, because we're talking about leading in a new era. I'm going to talk about investing in the next generation of leaders. I'll talk for 10, 15 minutes, and then I'm going to invite Meshach and Gabe up, and we'll use these. Oh, the seats are gone. We'll get the seats back up. Oh, we don't need them just yet, Ali. It's fine. Yeah, we're all there. We'll have more water, please, Mark, as well. When we get going for that, and we'll have a conversation just to unpack it a little bit more. Really excited. So I'm going to talk just on the idea investing in the next generation of leaders. And my prayer is this. So what I'm going to share now are just a few principles, really, a few things. So regardless of where you are at, what youth work or youth ministry looks like in your setting, whether you have a flourishing youth ministry or if actually it's non-existing at the moment and you're hoping and believing that something will happen in that area, I'm praying that God would speak to us and encourage us in that context. Very quickly, on back to AOG Youth, there's some exciting things that are happening across the nation. In 2 weeks' time, we have an event that we're putting together called Awaken, where we're believing to gather in four different locations over 1,000 young people across the UK, Scotland, London, Manchester, and Gloucester. Please pray for that event. The theme is Awaken, and it's coming from the idea of when Jesus interacts with Jairus' daughter, he says, she's not dead, she's asleep. And we're believing that God, by his Holy Spirit, is just going to wake up the young people of this nation. I love the idea that provocation leads to purpose, provocation to petition, to prayer, to prophecy. Like you and I, as church leaders and ministers, we should be provoked by the state of the young people in this nation to pray for them and to petition and to prophesy over them. So if you can be at one of these events, amazing. If not, let's bring that generation before the throne room of God and just say, please, Lord, wake them up to your purposes. Do something truly significant in this time, in that generation, in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Amen. Wonderful. So the ideas that I'm going to share then, I'm going to call it this. When it comes to investing in the next generation of leaders, if you want a little title for my quick thought, it's Leading in Babylon. Okay, leading in Babylon. What we see in the book of Daniel in chapter 1 is the moment where Jerusalem is besieged, where the Babylonians take God's people, and then they then have to, you know, they are oppressed by the Babylonian Empire. And we look at that, and three reactions could have happened by God's people. One, they would have wanted to fight, throw off their oppressors. Two, they would have wanted just to give in and think, okay, I guess I'm a Babylonian now. Their gods are my gods. I'm going to adopt their customs and their culture. Or three, and this is what I'm going to speak into, and we see in the case of Daniel, infiltrate. So not give in, adopt the language and the clothes and understand the culture, but to be distinct and unique among it. And Babylon, like we know, like Babylon's not gone anywhere, has it? Like it's changed names. Like, so when Jesus comes along, it's the Roman Empire that's the oppressing that God's people are living within. And they were expecting Jesus to overthrow it, weren't they? They wanted this like conquering hero. But Jesus is constantly saying, no, the kingdom of heaven is like this. And in Matthew, he speaks about the yeast that's woven throughout the dough. Like, so we're called to infiltrate and change culture from within. And our young people, the next generation, They're growing up in Babylon. And the pressures that they are under and the call to conform to the patterns and to bow down to the gods of the age when the music plays, it's so real for them and so fierce. And we need to pray to God that he gives us the wisdom and the ability to raise a generation of leaders that can lead in Babylon and infiltrate like Daniel did, change culture from within. And that's our joy and our privilege to be able to call that out of the next generation of leaders. So I've got three quick ideas looking at the person of Daniel who infiltrated Babylon, changed it from within, that we can pull out and apply to the context of youth ministry. And there's going to be, I want to challenge us to think about this in two ways. One is the example that we're setting to younger people, younger leaders. And two is how are we calling these things out of them? Is that okay? So try and think of it in two ways, and hopefully then it's applicable to any context that we're in today. So I've got 3 points. Fit to lead wasn't wasted on me. They all begin with S. So alliteration, 3 points. Let's go. And there it's observations of Daniel. So when we look at the person of Daniel, when he infiltrated culture, when he changed culture from within, what can we learn from him? And it's this. Daniel, can you repeat these after me? He was one. He was sharp. He was shredded. And he was steady. So he was sharp, shredded, and steady. So number one, he was sharp. So we read of Daniel. So the men of God that were taken to serve in the Babylonian Empire, it says this of them, and Daniel was one of them. They showed an aptitude for every kind of learning. They were well-informed and quick to understand. They were sharp. And when it comes to investing in the next generation of leaders, we need to be sharp, show an aptitude to understand and to learn about them. Now, I am talking with Young Lions. I drove a car full of young leaders to Young Lions 2 weeks ago. Had an amazing time there. They encountered the presence of God. It was wonderful. And then we're driving home, and straight away they put on their music, which was like awful. They put on they opened TikTok, and they were just on TikTok for the entire drive home, and barely sort of spoke to me. And being honest, I said like, I was moaning to God on the way home. Like, we've had this amazing encounter. Like I said, like, God, they're annoying. Is that too honest? Is that like they're like, oh, these young, save me from these young people. And I felt, and I've been challenged in this way. The Holy Spirit just stopped me. He said, don't get frustrated with them. Understand them. Like, seek to understand them. Like, what makes them tick? How are they thinking? How what are they passionate about? What are their interests and their concerns? Like, I was like, yeah, God, would you give me a sharpness of mind to be able to understand where these young people are at? What do they need? Just because it worked for me doesn't mean it's going to work for them, and we need to be sharp. And by this, I don't mean we need to be relevant. I'm far too old and bold to be relevant to most young people now, but God can give me an understanding to be able to see them as individuals. And let me challenge you to think of those that are younger than you in your context. Like, God, would you grant us a sharpness of mind and an understanding to be able to speak into their life and to call out the leadership gold from them? And then likewise, when it comes to those leaders and those young people that we have around us, let's instill in them a desire and a hunger to learn, to get sharp themselves. Like, if I can stand on a soapbox for a second, like, I've been involved in youth ministry for about 15 years or so now, and it breaks me every time this happens. But when a young person will leave to university and fold at the first challenge because they haven't equipped themselves with the understanding to defend their faith. So we need to, so it says in 2 Peter, doesn't it? So make every effort to add to your faith, goodness, and to goodness, knowledge. So we need to bolster these young people with an understanding. Why do you believe what you believe? Like, God, give us a sharp mind to infiltrate the culture. Daniel was sharp, and we need to be sharp when it comes to investing in the next generation of leaders. Amen? Yeah. Second, he was shredded. Okay, this is a bit of creative license here because I don't know if he had a six-pack. All right, but his diet was different, and people noticed. He looked different because of what he ate. So we read this in Daniel 1, verses 8. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. He didn't eat what others around him ate. In the summer, Pastor Meshach came and he spoke at our summer camp, Thrive. Like, goodness, it was fun, wasn't it? It was an amazing time. The ministry was incredible. It was powerful. And I'm sure it's going to be great later today as well. what I noticed, the more I spend time with Meshach, so we were on Fit to Lead together as well, weren't we? More I spend time with Meshach, and this happened over summer as well, I recognized that Meshach was stronger than me in certain areas, spiritually, not physically, obviously. No. Also physically. He was stronger than me in certain areas because his diet was better than mine. He would speak about how he spent time with the Father and the way that he heard the Father's voice and was able to translate that into like prophecy. He prophesied over me like so many times during the time that we were there. And what that made me do was look at his diet and think, I want to eat like he does. And so the challenge then for us when it comes to the generations that are coming after us, the next generation of leaders, is are they looking at our diet and wanting to copy it? Are we healthy spiritually, relationally, physically? And what are we eating? What are we consuming that would make younger leaders look at us and go, I need to eat what they're eating? That's a challenge for me. Yeah. It's a challenge for us, isn't it? And then likewise, when we're calling the best out of those amazing young people, younger leaders, like, have we got the ability and the tools to be able to equip them to change their diet? I talked about the TikTok on the whole way home. Like that was 2 hours of social media that they kind of, that's their diet. That's what they're consuming. And I've got two sons. They're 3 and 5. And the journey of getting them eating healthy is like a battle. Like they would have chocolate for breakfast, lunch, dinner, all day, every day. But as their dad, I need to go on the long journey with them of helping them change their diet, weaning them off sugar every time I can, but giving them things that will nourish them. And as leaders for the next generation, let's equip ourselves with the ability to give them good tools, like dine on the word of God, spend time in his presence. Let's equip them to have a good diet. So he was sharp, shredded, and then the last, he was steady. Okay? When it came to him infiltrating Babylon. And so when it's reckoned that when he challenged the way that people were eating and he chose to eat differently, people think he was around 17 or 19. So a young man. We jump through to Daniel chapter 6, and that's the story of Daniel and the lion's den. You were right, yeah, you have confidence, back yourself. Daniel and the lion's den. It's reckoned that he was 80 years old at that time. Yet, we see of Daniel that he's still remarkably consistent, praying 3 times a day, and people that wanted to find fault with him couldn't. And what we read this, Daniel 6 verses 4, they could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy, neither corrupt nor negligent. Like, and my encouragement in this, when it comes to investing in the next generation of leaders, or the example that we set in ministry, full stop, like never underestimate the power of consistency. A decade ago, my wife and I, we did a night of youth, and then as all good youth nights end, we went to McDonald's with the young people. My wife was pastoring a young lady who had a traumatic upbringing. Everything that you wouldn't want to happen to an individual happened to her. And so there was lots of difficult things to navigate, and we had to make some difficult pastoral decisions at the time with her that she didn't agree with. So in McDonald's car park late at night, she ends up just all of the pain, fear, rejection. Thank you, Mark. It all just like goes woof. And we have this moment where I guess we carry that, don't we? And like, I'm gonna try and get my words out because when I get emotional, I just stop talking. So bear with me, forgive me. So my wife, bless her, like takes all this and like, and this young girl, like just unloads the hurt. And she finishes with by saying this, because like one of the problems that she had was with drinking, and finishes by saying, right, I'm gonna go and get absolutely wrecked. But we're in the McDonald's car park. She then goes and does, like, goes and sort of goes on this absolute binge just sort of for the next 6 months. Just all of the work, all of the prayer, all of the love that my wife had exampled. But it just so happened that one of our pastors late at night at McDonald's, 11 p.m., drove into the car park. You know, it's a providential McDonald's late at night, or that was a habit of theirs. I don't know. And was able just to catch us as we're reeling from that in interaction where this person has just like unleashed this hurt and pain onto my wife in particular. And what that pastor said to us has stuck with us, and it's defined so much of what we do. When it comes to ministering to this generation, he said, you be consistent now. Your response to that is to be consistent. Keep praying, keep loving, keep forgiving. That was hard. Keep giving. You be consistent. And so we did. Like, goodness, that was tricky. Like, kept praying, kept loving, kept consistently believing for the best for this young girl. And I said, like, I didn't expect to get so emotional. It was a long time ago. It was a decade ago. We watched God do a tremendous work in her life. A few years later, restoration, healing. I had the privilege of speaking at her wedding. I had the privilege of dedicating her first child. She's become one of our best youth leaders and has helped countless other young girls who are going through the same thing. Now, Daniel was steady. And the best gift that we can give to young people is to be consistent and steady for them. When they're frustrating and when they're inconsistent, you be consistent. You be faithful, pray for them. Even if youth ministry feels like a long time ago and it doesn't feel like there's opportunities for you to do that, consistently pray, consistently believe and bring these young people to God. Jensen Franklin speaks a lot about fasting and he speaks about the prodigal son. What turned the prodigal son around was hunger. He said, my father's servants don't eat like this. You got hungry. And sometimes the prodigals, they're not hungry for themselves. We need to get hungry on their behalf and just seek God for them and consistently pray. And just very briefly, so we're going to get the panel up in a second to talk a little bit more practically about some of these ideas and what this can look like. But just wanted to lean into the idea that some of us in this room are hurting because of people that have walked away. And like myself and my wife, you invested, you prayed, you believed, and they rejected you. And just felt like the Lord wanted to minister to you now, if that's okay. To grant you the capacity to forgive, to love, to pray, but to be consistent in the face of rejection. Like, that's an amazing story about that young woman that came back. I can tell you lots of other stories of people that haven't yet, and we're believing still for them. I'm sure we can all think of someone, a prodigal, someone that's away that we want to come back, but just very specifically, if you feel like there's a wound that's open at the moment because of someone that's rejected you, that you loved, invested into, family member, young leader, whatever it might be, can we just pray? Just feel like the Lord wants to do some ministry in your life. If that is you, can you pop your hand up? If we can just, as the church, let's just keep your hands up, guys. Can we pray for those that are around? Just take a moment, just to allow the Holy Spirit to minister. Like, let's move quickly. We've not got loads of time on this. You begin to pray, then I'll finish in a moment. Jesus' name, let's pray. Hebrews says we don't have a high priest who's unable to empathize with our weaknesses. Rather, he knows exactly what we're going through, that weakness, the temptation to not forgive, to hold on to hurt. Jesus was rejected himself. So he understands. So Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray that you would grant these wonderful men and women of God the ability to forgive, to show consistency in the face of rejection, to love where they've received hate, to accept where they've received rejection, to believe for the best, even if it doesn't look like it's gonna turn around. Lord, I pray hope in Jesus' name, hope in Jesus' name, to hope again, to believe again, to trust again, and to see prodigals come home, to see prodigals returned, to see leaders recognize their calling once more, whether maybe they've wandered or rejected or thrown away. Holy Spirit, do a work in them and use the consistency of these people to bring them back, Lord God, through their prayers, through their love, through their hospitality, through their generosity, Lord God. Where the enemy would want them to quit, to give up, to give in, Holy Spirit, help them to be steadfast in love, steadfast in faith, steadfast in consistently believing for the best for those that you've placed in our lives. In your wonderful name, Jesus. Amen. Amen.